Deuteronomy chapter number 28, I'm going to read the first two verses. I think thanks to Meryl, as she's covered the rest of the verses for us, and I will just read the first two verses. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. We started a series last week that we titled Blessed Beyond Belief. Blessed Beyond Belief. And we established the fact that we are not cursed, we are blessed. And that the blessing is actually resident upon us right here, right now, in the terms of the fact that God has pronounced his blessing upon his people. Today we're going to go into another, a deeper layer of the whole thing, and we have decided to do that because we believe that the Lord wants us to get some divine information and truth across as to how we're to connect with this blessing of God. How do we connect with this blessing of God upon our life? I've titled it Connecting with the Blessing. Connecting with the Blessing. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we go into your word again this morning, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the gift of your word. The Bible says, the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Lord, we just pray that let light shine from heaven as we go into your word this morning. Let it illuminate our heart. Lord, show us how to connect with these enormous, great blessings that you have given unto us as a people, so that it's not just going to be with the hearing of our ears, but we will indeed experience them. I ask, O Lord, that you anoint the ears and the hearts of your people this morning. And, O Lord, I ask that you anoint me. Let my tongue become like the pen of a ready writer. Let the word distill as the rain. Let it drop as the dew of the morning this morning. So that, Lord, all of us will have been tremendously blessed at the end of this teaching this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Connecting with the blessing. Connecting with the blessing. Now, a while back, there was a compilation made by American Heritage Magazine of the 40 wealthiest people, or the 40 wealthiest Americans that have ever lived. Amongst the names was the name of a woman called Etty Green. Etty Green was a woman that lived up till 1916. She actually died at age 81. Now, this woman, at the time of her death, her wealth was estimated to be around $100 to $200 million. Now, I understand that in today's estimation, that's going to be in the range of $4.5 billion. She was referred to as the wealthiest woman in America at the time. As a matter of fact, she was adjudged the wealthiest woman in the world, in the is then world. And she made it to the 40 wealthiest people that has ever lived in America. Now, but there is another side to our story. This woman was a miser. She was so miserly that it actually impacted on her life. As a matter of fact, the Guinness World Book of Record put her as the greatest miser that had ever lived. She made that very negative record. Now, because she only wore, for most part of her life, she wore this black dress. And when they will ask her to get it washed, she will give them specific instruction to only wash the part that was dirty because she didn't want to spend money on soap. Now, she lived in a dilapidated house, even though she was so wealthy. And she will not allow them to use the hot water because she didn't want to pay money. She wouldn't allow them to heat the room because she didn't want to pay money. She was only eating, you know, pies, which cost just 15 cents. As a matter of fact, there was a time when her son, Ned, broke his leg, and this boy was taken into the poor people's clinic. She disguised herself because she didn't want them to know. Eventually, they found out, and she had to take her son out of that place. But she wouldn't look after this son to the point that this leg became infected, became gangrenous, and they actually had to amputate that leg in spite of her wealth. Her thriftiness was legendary. She had a lot of money, but she did not benefit from it whatsoever. Now, we listen to such stories, we hear such stories, and we think to ourselves, what a waste, what a shame that a person who was that wealthy would still live as if she was a pauper. She could have eaten with the richest of the rich. She could have actually sat with the princes of the land and eat at their dining table. But rather, she preferred, or she was forced because of her miserly lifestyle, to eat only what paupers and poor people partook of. Now, but her story is not too different from our story, in the sense that God calls us blessed. We are blessed people. We are not going to be blessed. We are already blessed, according to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. But unfortunately, in our world and in our days, we still have many of us as believers who, though we're blessed with so much, yet we enjoy so little. We're super blessed, yet we're living as if we're really cursed. We're tremendously blessed, but then we are still living as if we're so disadvantaged and so deprived. And so it's important that we just don't focus on the story of Etty Green. We should actually see ourselves, especially if we're not living out the blessing of God, in the light of her situation. Because in spite of the blessings that are at our disposal, we're still not able to actually live at the level, you know, at the pedestal, if you like, that God will want us as believers to live. In Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 3, Paul wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, blessed be God. You know, it was a statement of excitement. Paul was actually excited by the reason of the discovery of that revelation. Blessed be God, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Look at that, Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Paul was so excited when this discovery was made. It was a revelation. Oh, blessed be God. You know, it's almost like you are just digging, maybe you want to farm, and then you come across this gold. You know, blessed be God. This is unbelievable. We've got unbelievable blessing. Who has blessed us with every, the word every means every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Like we said last week, what that means is the fact that everything that we will ever need, that you and I will ever need for our life to be considered blessed, has already been given to us. Everything that we will ever need for people to look at our life and say, wow, that guy is blessed. Wow, that woman is blessed, has already been given to us. It was a statement of truth and fact, but it was also made with excitement because of that discovery. Blessed be God. Praise be God. Honor be God. Honored be God, who has blessed us with all our every spiritual blessing. Now, the blessing that God has given to us is much more than what money can buy. You know, to reduce it to only money, because oftentimes when we talk about blessing, we always think in terms of money, as if money is the only thing that is involved in the blessing of God. To reduce it to that is actually to insult the wisdom of God that has given us all this blessing, because there are so many blessings that God has given us that money is not able to buy. For instance, you're not able to, how much money will you pay to buy joy in your heart? And for people that have been sorrowful in the past or that have experienced some sorrows, they will appreciate what I'm talking about. How much money are you going to pay for peace of mind? You know, for people that have experienced turbulence, confusion in their heart, they will appreciate that there is not enough amount of money that you can put on the table that can get you peace. How much money do you pray for the conviction of righteousness, the fact that you are righteous, you are at right standing with God, and that when you eventually exit this earth, you're going to live eternity with God? How much money are you going to pay for that comfort, for that conviction of righteousness, you know, of having right standing with God? People that have guilt and shame and have this sense of worthlessness is simply because they don't have this conviction of righteousness. How much money are you going to pay for hope, for you to have hope? We have been told that one of the things that kill a lot of people in this country, great country of ours, is a sense of hopelessness. You know, and that's why people go into taking their own lives, because all of a sudden they just realize that there is no hope for their future. And this does not in any way exclude people that have got money. So you could have all the money that you want to, but still not be able to buy this, you know, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 tells us, it says, the kingdom of God is not in eating and in drinking. It is in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Those are the things that come that money is not able to buy. And if we even want to scale it, then there are certain other things that money is not able to buy that many of us in this place actually experience and have them in an abundant measure. You know, some of us are able to go to bed and decide we want to sleep and we just go off like that. You know, we don't realize that some people are actually struggling to get enough sleep. Some people actually pay a lot of money to be able to get to sleep. And even though they are able to get some sleep from the payment or from their drugs or their medication, the refreshing part that comes with sleep is not given to them, you know, because you know as well as I do that when you actually medicate yourself to sleep, oftentimes you don't get as refreshed as you would get if you were actually supposed to experience that sleep normally, naturally. The restorative value, that's what we call it, of such sleep is not great. But some of us are able to just lie down there and boom, we're gone. Praise God. I have one member of my family, my wife. She's tremendously blessed with this. If you want to talk to her, make sure you're sitting down, because, you know, she wakes up very early in the morning, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, so she's all about. And so when I want to have some serious discussion, I make sure that we sit down and talk, because once she wants, when she lies on her side on bed, she's gone. Our daughters often complain that she doesn't even stay 5 minutes up when she wants to watch movies with them, because once she just lies on the couch, she's gone. And oftentimes we have this discussion and she'll say, no, the Lord has blessed me. Why are you stopping my blessing? You know. But that's just on a light note. But some of us don't struggle with those things, and we don't know that it's actually a blessing from God. Because some of us have great health and we don't know that this is actually a blessing from God. I'm saying that we're tremendously blessed people, and it is important for us to appreciate God for those blessings, especially blessings that money is not able to buy. And many of them are actually in overflow dimensions in our life. I came across a story of a man, an 83-year-old man, who suddenly collapsed, you know, while doing some gardening in his house. And then he was rushed to the hospital, and they quickly put him on the bed and gave him some oxygen. He was to be discharged the following, of course he recovered, and he was to be discharged the following day. And then they brought his bill to him, and his bill was $10,000. And so the man started to cry. On looking at actually the breakdown of the bill, he discovered that they charged $2,500 for oxygen for 6 hours, $2,500, and of course the rest of it was medication. Everything altogether was $5,000. So $2,500 was for 6 hours of oxygen that was put on him, and the man started to cry, and many of the people that were working at the hospital were like, "Oh, sorry, this man is not able to pay. That's why he's crying." So one of the nurses summoned enough courage to come across to this elderly gentleman and say, "I'm so sorry, sir, but there is a way we can actually deal with this bill. You don't have to keep crying. I suppose you're crying because you don't have $5,000 to pay, but we can actually make it such that you do it in installment." And the elderly gentleman looked at her and said, "Look, it's not so much about the fact that I don't have $5,000 to pay. I mean, I know I will get that sorted. It's just because I realized that for 6 hours, you've charged me $2,500, 6 hours of oxygen. Now, the reason why I cry is that I have extrapolated that, and I discovered that means that if I were to be on this oxygen for a whole day, that means I'm going to pay four times that amount, which means $10,000 for oxygen a day. Now, think about it, my daughter. I'm 83 years old. You know how much I owe God for bringing in his oxygen for 83 years, $10,000 every day? That's the reason I'm crying, because I've discovered I've not been giving him enough thanks and praises to appreciate him for how much of his oxygen I have consumed. Now, some of you are here, in 30 minutes, you have consumed $10,000 worth of oxygen already, you know. Don't worry, I'm not going to charge you. I'm just telling you that, you know, these are things that we take for granted because they just happen. There is a machine called the heart in our chest. You don't even know that it's there because it's beating and it's not causing you any trouble. If it misses one beat, then you know that somehow there's something in there. But you never even pay attention to it. If it misses two beats, then you start coughing. If it misses three beats, God forbid, then you start thinking, this must be an hospital situation. Now, but we don't even pay attention to it, and that's part of his blessing. Now, all of these blessings are the blessings that God gives unto us without even asking us questions about them. But I am saying that over and above all those things, there are many blessings that God has given unto you that you wouldn't appreciate that you've got them until you don't have them. And you wouldn't appreciate that you've got them until you see someone who does not have them. These are tremendous blessings of God that God has given unto us. Now, but more often than not, we don't connect with these blessings, or we don't connect with them enough. For instance, joy, peace, you know, the conviction of righteousness, hope in God. These are blessings that God has given unto us, but we don't connect with them that well. And that's why some of us, even though we're in the kingdom, where there is abundance of hope, we're living in hopelessness. Where there is abundance of joy, we're living with sorrow. Where there's an abundance of the conviction of righteousness, for instance, we're living with guilt, with shame, you know, with this heavy weight of sin, simply not because it's not available, not because it's not been pronounced, but simply because we have not connected with it. Now, the question this morning that I want us to answer is, how do I connect with this blessing? Because we're not talking about how do we ensure that this blessing is generated. Do you remember the story last week that you can have the power actually generated and staying there in the mains, or what some people call the socket in your house, and you're still not able to get your fan to work simply because you have not connected the plug, you have not plugged the fan in. So how do we connect with this tremendous blessing, this blessing that made Paul, the apostle, to as it were, leap for joy when he discovered the enormity of this blessing? And that's exactly what I want us to talk about this morning. But before we talk about that, let me say this, that the blessing that God gives us, every blessing that God gives us, first come in the spiritual before it is recognizable in the physical. It is first released, as it were, in the spiritual form before it is now channeled into that particular area of our life that it is required. That's why it says, look at the passage again in Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 3. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. You see that word? Blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. It means that when God gives us this blessing, whatsoever blessing that God has given unto you, will give unto you, or has given unto you, come in this spiritual entity, come in this spiritual form, whatsoever it is, good health, finances, prosperity, multiplication, you know, having dominion. All of these things come in the spiritual entity, in the spiritual form first, before it becomes translated into whatsoever form where you can actually use it or apply it, including money, including finances. And that's why the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, talking to the children of Israel, it said they should recognize God because it is God that gives the power to get wealth. Now, that power to get wealth that he's talking about that spiritual backing, that spiritual entity that is released from God, that comes upon a people, that comes as a blessing upon a people, and it makes them to be productive, to be resourceful, and to be able to make wealth. It is God that gives you power to get wealth. He said, don't say to yourself that my hand has produced this, my wisdom has produced this. But you remember the Lord your God, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. For it is him who gives you power to get wealth. So it comes in the spiritual form to start with. And that's why if you see in Genesis chapter number 17, I want you to turn there. Genesis chapter number 17, God was speaking to a man by the name of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 17, he had already promised him that he was going to have a son. And then in verse number 5, it says this regarding Abraham. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. God says, you're going to stop bearing this name Abram. You're going to start bearing the name Abraham. Abraham means the father of many nations, you know. You are going to be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. Do you see that? I have made you. Now, this man was, at this point in time, was childless. He had no children whatsoever. But God is saying, I have made you. And so, your name needs to change to be in line with what I have made you. Okay? And then it says in verse number 6, I will make you exceedingly fruitful. You see the change of language. In verse number 5, it talks about, I have made you. I have made you. This is what you have. Then in verse number 6, it says, I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you. And kings shall come from you. Verse 5 said, I have made you. So in the realm of the spirit, this is who you are. You are a father of many nations. And that's why he said, change your name. Your name is no longer Abraham. Exalted Father, you are now the father of many nations. Now, can you imagine a situation? I mean, this is almost like God is just setting this man to be ridiculed. Because that means that every time Sarah, whose name also got changed, by the way, was going to call this man, he's going to call him, and other people in the street, they will hear what he's calling this man. Father of many nations. Now, if that was your neighbor, and you know that they are childless, what are you going to do? You're going to laugh. You're going to laugh. Father of many nations, come, your food is ready. Don't forget that their houses are not too far apart in their day and time. As a matter of fact, they live together in a kind of a courtyard system, you know, so that everyone hear what's going on in the next, you know, the next room. So Father of many nations, your dinner is ready, you know. and the neighbor will just laugh. What's wrong with this guy? He doesn't even have a child. But that's what God wants him to be calling himself, because that's what he has just made him. He has made him that in the realm of the spirit. But he says, I will make you exceedingly fruitful. Verse 6. This is what's going to happen in the future, but this is what it is now. So the spiritual reality was the fact that Abraham at this point in time was the father of many nations. Even though in the physical, he had no children whatsoever. Exactly the same way. The situation in the spirit as it is right now is that you are a prosperous person. It's the fact that you are a victorious person. It's the fact that you are a man that is, or a woman that is in dominion. It's the fact that you are a woman that is full of hope. It is the fact that you are a man that is full of life, that is full of great future. That you are a man that is filled with joy in the realm of the spirit. And God says, Start calling yourself that. Now, but there is a difference between what it is in the realm of the spirit, because that's where actually the blessing dwells, and what it now takes, what does it take now to bring it into reality in such a way that you actually manifest what you are in the realm of the spirit. That's what we want to talk about this morning, because the blessing of God is not just supposed to stay there in the realm of the spirit. It's supposed to be brought into this realm where you can live it. And that is why I don't want to just get rich in the spirit. I want to get rich now. Now, when I say rich, I'm not talking about the fact that everyone, of course, we're going to become, you know, the next billionaire. No, that's not what I'm talking about, you know. I'm talking about a situation where you are able to manage your resources in a way that you are able to meet your needs. The Bible says, having therefore food and raiment, let us therefore be now content. I don't want to just have resources in the realm of the spirit that I'm not able to actually have at my disposal when I actually need them here. So we need to know how to connect. How do you then connect with this spiritual blessing? So that you're not just going to find out for the first time that you are so tremendously blessed after you have exited this earth. And that's the reality that some of us, unfortunately, some believers will have, that they will first, for the first time, realize how much they are blessed when they actually appear in the presence of God after they have died, you know. And they say, oh, I didn't know I have that. I didn't know. Why? Because while they were here, they did not connect with that blessing. The question this morning is, how then do you and I connect with this tremendous blessing that is resident in the realm of the spirit? Because God is not going to make it. He has already made it. He has already made it. You know, the meeting of your needs is not just, it's not giving God any sleepless night. It is giving you sleepless nights because you have not connected with it. God has already made it. So it's not going to think about how to make it. It's already deposited in the spirit realm. And somebody says, so, but why is God just depositing everything in the spirit realm? Because that's where you actually dwell. That's your address. That's your home address. You're actually a spirit man that is dwelling. Your dwelling is in Christ, in God. That's why what the Bible says. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's your dwelling place. So it has deposited it in your address. So the question is, how do I connect with this blessing? And that's what we want to quickly see in this morning. It's so clear from Deuteronomy chapter 28. You know, when Mariel was reading this passage, it was supposed to be a Bible reading, but as she was reading it, I was just saying amen. I was just saying amen. Because those blessings are just, can you imagine anyone having all of these blessings and still be living a life of poverty, of penury, of losing battles, of not having kingdom dominion? Can you imagine how sad God will feel in heaven that all of this pronouncement have been made upon these people, this precious son, this precious daughter of mine, and he does not even seem to be scratching the surface of his blessing. So as he was reading it, I was saying amen to those blessings, because I felt that these blessings are too great, too abundant in God to be missed. But they are supposed to be a connector, and that's what we want to see. Now look at verse number 1 again. In verse number 1 of Deuteronomy chapter 28, it says this. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey, I want you to underline that word diligently obey, the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully. I want you to underline that word, observe carefully. All, if you can circle that, all. Sorry, I don't mean to mess up your Bible, but I just need to make you to emphasize, I just want to emphasize those words. All his commandments, which he command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all, you can circle that again, all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. I love that word, overtake you. Because, simply because you what? Obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now, it's so simple. We don't need any serious explanation. The thing that connects you and I with this enormous blessing of God that is resident in the realm of the spirit is simply obedience. It's simply obedience. Somebody says that's simple. Yes, that's simple. You wanted it to be more complicated? Sorry, God is disappointing you here. It's so simple. What you just need is to obey the voice of the Lord your God. And all of these blessings, they are not just going to be pronounced. They are going to be available because the pronouncement has already been made. It's already there. It's already available. But you need to obey the Lord, the voice of the Lord your God. Now, listen to this, people of God. This is going to help you. Now, the day you start considering this word, this Bible, this the content of this word, as instructions from the Lord, from your Lord, and stop taking it as an opinion, and stop taking it as a suggestion, that day you have entered into the court of your blessing. I said the court of your blessing because you have not entered into through the door yet, you know. You need to obey those words to actually enter in through the door and experience those blessings. But for you to just come to the point that, look, the content of this book, I will regard it not as a suggestion. I will not regard it as an idea. I will not regard it as an opinion, but I will regard it as an instruction. I will regard it as a command from my Lord. That day, you have entered into a vantage position to begin to enjoy God's blessing. And of course, you need to actually obey, because it's not just taking it as an instruction from the Lord. You need to obey. Now, the reason why I said that is because there are many good people, including Christians, who read the Bible and love the content of the Bible. They just love the ideas there. They just love the opinions there. They just love the thought, you know, of the writer. They say, this writer is brilliant. This guy is good, you know. But they don't take it as a command, as an instruction from the Lord. And that's why when you read that passage, it talks about the Lord your God. This is an instruction from the Lord your God. It's not just an idea of somebody else. And he puts some words in there that I want you to pay attention to. He said, diligently obey. NIV translation says, fully obey. In other words, this obedience or these instructions need diligence. It needs some hard work to pay careful attention to it to the point that you don't miss anything out of it. Now, because it is so easy to miss out on that instruction, and it says something, it says you observe carefully, to carefully observe. Now, both words diligently and carefully, you know, they describe them as hard verb. I still remember what they taught us, you know, while growing up, you know. I don't like this adverb, verb, noun, pronoun, and adjective and all those things. Just speak the language and let me go, you know. But my English teacher would say, and you, so what's that? Adjective or an adverb? I would say, I don't know whether it's an adjective. But those words are hard verbs. Now they give strength to what they are actually trying to qualify. Diligently obey, carefully observe. In other words, you make sure that you pay attention to this and pay attention very well. You don't miss any point here. You go through all the length. That's why I love the word NIV. It says fully. It's not partially. It's not 60% obedience. It's not some part of obedience. It's fully. You need to go through it fully. Now, every aspect of your life has the instruction of God that guides them. Every aspect of your life. You know, your finances have the instruction of God that guides them. Your relationship has the instruction of the Lord that guides them. Raising children has the instruction of the Lord that guides them. Your work, you know, as an employee has the instruction that guides them. If you're an employer, your work as an employer of labor has in this word instructions that guide them. Now, what the Bible is saying is here, you need to obey those instructions to release the blessings. And you need to obey them fully. You need to obey them diligently. You need to obey them carefully. You know, when God was speaking to Moses as to how to build, you know, the tabernacle, he showed him a picture. And he says, make sure you build it according to the pattern. If you deviate to the left or to the right, you will not get the result. You just need to stick to the plan. Now, when I read Deuteronomy chapter 28, you know, I see three important areas that are covered. Now, there are more, but three important areas that are covered. It covers provision. You know, because it says in verse 8, the Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. It covers provision. In other words, everything that you ever need in your life, since the time of your birth to the time that you're going to meet your Lord, you know, everything that you will ever need has been provided for in Christ Jesus. Okay, but not only that, it takes care of your protection. Look at verse 7. It says, the Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come against you in one way and flee before you seven ways. Now, the protection we're talking about is not just a protection from the hassle. It's even a blessing there that actually makes you to be the one that chases the person who is assaulting you. As in, you chase the enemy away from your territory. It's not just defending the offense. It's actually launching an offensive upon the enemy. It's a blessing of God. You know, because when I look at the life of certain people, it's almost like they are just trying to, oh, it's the devil. Oh, it's the devil here. Oh, it's the devil there. No, there is never a time in their lives when they have taken charge of their life and advanced against the territory of the enemy. You know, and that's one of the blessings that the Lord gave, you know, I believe that was Abraham, when he says, your children will take the battle to the gate of the enemy. That's the way we have been born. We are born again in Christ Jesus, not to just be on the defense. We are born again in Christ Jesus to take the battle to the gate of the enemy, you know, and actually exercise our victory and dominion within the camp of the evil one. Okay? And that blessing is there. So I see promotion. I see provision. I see protection. But I also see deposition. Look at verse 13. I love this. I could actually sit down with this verse all day. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. I love that word, above only. You know, on Wednesday we prayed about this. Above only. That's your position. Now, and that's the blessing that comes upon you and her. Now, the question is, how do we connect with this blessing so that we actually experience them? Obedience. Obey diligently. Obey carefully. Every aspect of your life, like I said, has divine instructions that guides them. Find them out. Somebody says, but why do I need to find them out? That's the part of the diligence that you need to do. Find them out. The finding out is part of the diligence that you and I need to do to find the word out and find that instruction that guides our life. And when you find them, you observe them carefully. In other words, you don't deviate to the left and to the right. You don't do it 60% or 70% and expect a result. You know, I usually use this example that many of us have, you know, email addresses and stuff like that. And you want to put on your, you know, your password, you know. And when you put your password in there, if you miss just one character, the email will just not open. I mean, it still happened to me this week. I said, what is happening? And he says, no, username or password incorrect. What do you mean is it correct? Username or password incorrect. Now, you will have expected that I only missed just one character, just one. Now, you will have expected that this guy would just open maybe 80%, you know? And say, okay, then you realize, oh, maybe there is that. But it will not open at all. That's exactly the way it is. When you don't observe it carefully, it doesn't just work. And it makes all the other efforts that you are putting it to appear as if it's actually not of God. It's simply because it's not complete. It's not full. You know, some of those characters are funny. I mean, it doesn't even have to be an A. You know, if you're supposed to put an underscore and you put a dash, they look alike. You know, but it's not going to happen. You know, that's why it is important for us to obey carefully, obey diligently, make sure that you tick all the boxes. Now, that is not putting you under the law. That is just making you to understand that the divine instruction is to be obeyed fully. You know, I came across a gentleman years ago, and I just want to give you an example of how sometimes we obey the word of God, but we obey it our way, the way we think makes sense. Or the way the world tells us makes sense, you know. And I will give this example. It's something that has to do with finances, you know. So you bear with me. You know, somebody says, also, why is pastor always using finances? Then you need to complain about Jesus, because more than 50%, perhaps even more than that, of the example that Jesus gave was about money, you know, about talent. Those talents are not skills. They are not ideas. They are money in his day and time. You know, yesterday we were having our family devotion at home, and because we take kind of turns, you know, to preach. You know, I don't preach always in my house, so we all take turns. And one of our daughters was going to, it was our turn, you know, and then she was teaching from this passage, and it was about money as well. And Jesus was given this instruction and guidance and all those things. Now, I just went into that to let you know that using this example is okay. You know, it's legit, like they would say, it's legit, you know. So I came across this man years ago, and a fine gentleman, you know, a nice person, and a believer, you know. And he told me, we started having conversations, and he said, I pay my tithe, by the way. I said, yeah, that's great. I said, but there is something. I don't pay my tithe to the church, at least in this season. I said, what I do is that I use my tithe, you know. I have some people that I know, and then I use my tithe to help them in their school, you know, because they're struggling, you know, to pay their fees. So I'm using that to support them. Now, on the surface, you would think, well, it's not a bad idea. After all, he's actually taking out the tithe, you know. But if you look at God's word, that's not the way it is done. You don't use your tithe to finance other people's, you know, issues, no matter how legitimate it is. The Bible says, bring your tithe into the storehouse. And the last time I checked, you are not the storehouse. And you are not the one to disburse it. You bring it to the place where the priest will disburse it. No, it's just like somebody says, you know, to the government, you know, I've removed my tax, you know, but there is a road around my area that needs to be tarred, you know. So I'm going to use that. You're laughing, but that's the way it is. I'm going to use that money to tar the road. And they actually see the road being tarred. You think they will applaud him in Canberra? No. They will chase him. They will chase after him. You know, they will send those letters from lawyers, you know. You know, with the discovery of not been paying your tax, you know. Because it's not in your place. It is supposed to be given to the government, and they disburse it. The same way. You don't... It sounds good that this guy was paying his tithe, but he was paying nothing. And so when that guy does not experience the blessing that comes upon a tithe, he should not complain, because he has violated the rule. Yes, the money was taken out of his, you know, whatever, but he did not get to where he's supposed to get to. And you're not the priest. You know, you need to take it to the priest. No, I say, okay, but what if I discover that, you know, they're not going to use it the way I like? Well, you're not the priest. You have two options. It's either you tell God, call me a priest so that I can start the church and be the priest there, or you go and look for a place where you will believe in their vision and you're going to connect with what they're doing there. You don't take that position. Now, I use that example because it sounds like an obedience. It sounds like the man was doing the right thing. But it is not diligently, it is not carefully, it's not following the instruction. And so it is. In our marital experiences, in our relationship, we come to a point where we begin to do certain things, and then we just had a little bit of our own ideas, our own opinion, the traditions of men, and then we expect that God is not blessing it. No, it's not going to be blessed. Why? Because the character is not complete. I'm challenging you, people of God, that if we're going to experience this enormous blessing that God has blessed us with in the realm of the Spirit, then we should be ready to follow through the obeying the instruction all through. You know, the prophet Samuel came to Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22. Saul said, look, has been given the instruction. Saul was given the instruction, go into that place, destroy the Amalekites, don't bring anything whatsoever out of the place. And Saul came back and he said, I brought the fatted cow, you know, the nice ones, to sacrifice to the Lord. You know, that sounds religious. Like, you know, that sounds spiritual. But Samuel says, no, to obey is better than sacrifice. To heed is better than bringing the fat of rams. You know, prayer is great. You know, fasting is fantastic. We just finished one. But you cannot substitute obedience with prayer and fasting. You cannot substitute obedience with, you know, serving in the house of the Lord, you know, cleaning chairs and tables. You cannot substitute obedience and expect that the blessing will come upon you. I'm challenging you, people of God. Let's get back to the basis, and the basis is obeying the voice of the Lord our God. There is a trigger. This is the trigger that brings the blessing to be upon us, to actually physically manifest, to manifest in every area of our life. Let me close by saying this. Earlier this year, specifically in the month of April, you know, the residents of a place called Oxfordshire Village of Drayton in the UK, they were woken up by a loud noise. There was this sound of explosion that took place around them. And at first, many of them thought it was, you know, kind of accident. Some people thought it was a terrorist attack. But later they discovered that it was neither of them. It was not an accident. It was not a terrorist attack. What had happened was that there were certain bombs that were dropped into that area during the Second World War, 80 years before. Now, so some experts had come because they had been alerted from the Ministry of Defense, and they came to actually kind of defuse and dispose of the bomb. But they needed to just do something to cause the bombs to explode. You know, they triggered something to cause the bomb to explode, of course, in a controlled and safe manner. But it took 80 years, and that thing was lying there as if it had no capacity to explode. You know, the blessing of God can remain in your life all throughout your years in this path called health. And it will not explode. I mean, explode in the positive sense there. It will just remain there, dormant, all throughout your years here. All throughout my years here. And that's going to be very devastating. But we need that trigger. And that trigger in this instance is obedience. Diligently obeying, carefully observing the instruction. I'm challenging you that you start today. I'm challenging you that you start today obeying every instruction that you find in this word that applies to your case. And boom, those blessings, the Bible says it will come upon you and it will overtake you. It will overtake you. It will outrun you. That shall be your experience. Let us pray.